Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
As I was sitting there, I just sensed that the Lord was given a solution to the holiday blues. You ever feel those holiday blues? And the scripture that came to mind is, "Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running out all over." And during this time and during this season, you may feel some pains, some hurts. You may have some concerns. You may be feeling some pressures from the outside of the holidays and family members. And I just felt the Lord say, do that opposite thing today and this week and this moment and in this season. As you hurt, meet a hurting need. As you're confused, bring clarity to somebody that doesn't understand. As you feel unloved, I am calling you to love. And as you do these things, I'm going to cause a releasing in you, a breaking in you, and the joy of the Lord is going to well up inside of you, and I will surely bring you peace during this holiday season. Praise your Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read to us from the first chapter of Luke. It was the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a young virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her, "for God has decided to bless you." Let me read that to you again. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her, "for God has decided to bless you. You will become pregnant and have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign forever, and his kingdom will never end." You know, this morning, I just hear the Holy Spirit saying to me kind of the same words that he was saying to Mary. The Lord is with you, and the Lord has decided to bless you. How many of you are glad for that? God has made a choice to bless you. And I want you to receive that blessing of the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, the enemy is coming against me right now. All hell is breaking loose, and problems and worries and concerns. And Mary was confused and disturbed too. That's human. That's our condition. That's what sometimes happens in this world, I'll tell you. But in the midst of all that, God has decided. He's made a decision about you. He's not neutral on you. He's not impassive towards you. He's decided to bless you. And he says to you, and he says to me, and to everyone, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Something good is getting ready to take place in your life. I want us to pray together as a church, and I want to lift you up to the Lord. I want to be sure that you know the mighty power of Jesus, the mighty love that he has for you. And I want us also to think about our loved ones, people that are going through hard times right now, and maybe you need a touch today. But if there's somebody that you know, let's include them in this time of prayer, because God has decided to bless the world. That's what Christmas is. He's made a decision that he loves us and that something good is going to happen. Let's pray and reach up with a hand of faith and believe him for good things. Amen. Father in heaven, we just come before you in this time when your Holy Spirit is so present in these moments of worship. And I'm asking, Lord, that right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would break all discouragement and fear and sickness in our lives. And Lord, that we would receive right now in this time, in this beautiful season, the good things that you have purposed to bring into our lives. Lord, we reach up with faith and we lay hold on your goodness and your love. And we bring down now your mercy and your favor. We ask, Lord, also for all that are hurting, Lord, in our family and in our circles of love, at work and in our neighborhoods. Lord, we include them and we ask, Lord, that peace and grace would come to them, that none of them would be afraid, that none of them would be sick, that none of them would be lonely this time of the year. Lord, we pray that your provision would be full and rich for every open heart, and that you would bless people in the strong name of Jesus, the name that you gave, Lord. The name Jesus, at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of both heaven and earth. Lord, you are the God of the living and the dead. We praise you and we rejoice in your mighty power. Nothing is too difficult for you, Lord. Thank you that you are with us, and we receive your grace and your power in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
All right, are you ready for the Word of God? I'm so glad we could be together. I've got a teaching outline for you right there on the chair. And if you would just pick that up, I want you to notice something on the backside at the very bottom is a website address. That's all about our Transform series that's coming. Now, what this is, these are small groups. You've been hearing about it in the video announcements. Small groups and Sunday services that'll be taking place for 7 weeks, starting in early February. And this Transformation series really is special stuff. So please note that website, drill down into that, find the answers that you need about this Transform series. Please be a part of it. The staff just finished it, and it is amazing. It inspired me. It strengthened me personally. Rick Warren is the teacher of it, and it's tremendous. So, and we are, as we mentioned, looking for hosts. What does it mean to be a host? It just means you open your home, you open a group. It's real simple, 7 weeks. Brew some coffee, pop some popcorn, and push play on a DVD player. You'll get seven lessons, not all in one night, but that's over the course of 7 weeks. You can bring your friends. Marvelous way to share Christ with people, and it really is helpful stuff. So we're looking forward to that. All right. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Glad we're all together, and we're here in the sanctuary. Whether you're listening online, we're glad that you're joining us. I know there's a whole group of people enjoying some coffee in the cafe right now in the family lounge. It's that time of the year that we love so much, and we're celebrating, of course, the birth of Christ, and our theme is home for Christmas. That just goes together, home and Christmas. Doesn't that just work well? It's like spaghetti and meatballs. It just works. It's born together, right? Perfect. And how many remember the old Bing Crosby song? Isn't that a nostalgic song, I'll Be Home for Christmas? Remember that one? I'll be home for Christmas. You know, the rest is a hum because we don't know the words. But it's just a beautiful, and you think about, it makes you think these beautiful images, like these Norman Rockwell paintings, Americana, the ideal family, gathering together, the excitement of children. You know, home for Christmas. It's the dream of sons and daughters. It's the dream of soldiers and business travelers that are stuck in bad weather. People all over the world. People that don't even know Christ, don't even understand the gospel. They just want to be home for Christmas. They want to be home for the holidays. And I got to thinking about that, and I found this verse in Proverbs 27, verse 8, that made me think of this whole thing all over again when it comes to being home for Christmas. The wisest man who ever lived said these words, "When you are far from home, you feel like a bird without a nest." There's a certain feeling that you get of homesickness or missing home. I don't know if maybe some of you are far away from your natural family at this time, or if you've ever been in the military like my dad was, serving in Korea. He was far from home for 18 months. And my mom just had their first child. He didn't even meet my oldest brother until he was 18 months old. He was far from home, all those Christmases. How many have ever just had that yucky feeling of being far from home on Christmas? It's just not a good feeling. People want to be home for Christmas. And I believe that's not just a sentimental thing, but I think we could look at that in a spiritual way. What I want to talk about this morning is this, that there is a desire on the inside of each and every one of us. Every human being that's ever lived has a desire for home. Maybe not just a natural home, but it's a bigger desire, a sense of home in a spiritual sense. There's a desire for home in every heart that only Christ can satisfy. And my, what he does for us. Let me begin with this thought. I don't know if you agree with this, but it is my feeling that every human heart is homesick. I believe there is something on the internal spiritual side of our lives that's lacking. You know, we're born this way. We're born, I think, with a sense of homesickness in our lives. Kind of like Solomon said, like birds without nests. There's a feeling that we get. We're unable to feel fully at home at times in this world. And I want to kind of unpack that for us. There is a deep longing. There's a yearning for something to change, for something to be different inside of our lives. A place to nest, like a bird. It's a place to feel really safe and secure at home. I know many of us have that desire to be home, but we're not sure where to find it. We don't even know where home is. I was reading famous theologian Friedrich Buchner, and he told of a Christmas sermon that just moved him to tears. The minister kept asking in this message, the refrain of the message over and over and over again was, "Are you going home for Christmas? Are you going home for Christmas?" And it was hitting Buchner because it shook him deep inside, because he was longing to understand how he could fill that empty place in his life. Some things had happened in his family, and he really didn't know where home was. I don't know if you saw this week where a big camp here in our own city, a big camp of homeless people, had to move out, and it was about 300 of them. This week I was in the mayor's office, Mayor Chuck Reed, up on the 18th floor of City Hall. Us and about a half dozen other pastors have had the privilege of praying with him in his office for the citizens of San Jose every month for these 8 years that he's been the mayor. Whatever you think of each and every one of his policies, I observed in him a man who deeply cares about homeless people. We talked about that and we prayed for those people. And I started to think inside my spirit as I prepared for this message, what does it look like for homeless people at Christmas time? For some people who don't have maybe a traditional home, where a home doesn't even exist. What if you don't have any family? What if you don't have any friends? What does being home for Christmas look like for people that are far away from home? For people who live alone, maybe a widow or a widower. What does it look like if you're from a broken home? What if your life is nothing at all like a Norman Rockwell painting or a Bing Crosby song? How do we find that sense of home? I read an American essayist on this subject, and she said, "I don't go home for Christmas because I don't have a home to go to. My parents have been dead for years. My stepchildren and other family members all celebrate Christmas elsewhere. So all the usual images of home are not relevant for my life." What is relevant is this. Christmas is the story that connects to this issue of homesickness and homelessness, because Christmas is the story of both homesickness and going home. I mean, think about the actual narrative of the Christmas story. Christ our Savior was born to Mary and Joseph during a journey home. Now, they made their home in Nazareth, but they had to, because of government decree, they had to make a journey home to a place called Bethlehem. That was their ancestral home. And when they got to that place, Bethlehem, now imagine, you're on a long journey. You're going home, right? You're going home to where your family is. You're going home to your ancestral home. And you get there, and there is no room in the... Here they are trying to get into home, and there's no room for them. What a picture. You say, does God understand what I'm going through in my life? You better believe he does. Have you ever been alone in a crowd? Have you ever been around people that are supposed to be your family, and you're trying to get in, and it doesn't really feel like home? Doesn't really feel like there's a spot? How do you go home for Christmas when you don't even know where home is, or what is supposed to be home isn't really like home, or at least it isn't really available? That's the heart and soul of the Christmas story. How to find home. and how to find that sense of belonging in Christ. That's the Christmas story. Now, how do we define? I mentioned the word homesickness. You know, if you've ever been a child away from your family, or you know what it means to be homesick. How do we define this human sense of homesickness that I think we all struggle with? First, I believe it's a longing for security. Every person listening to my voice longs to be secure. There isn't one person that wants to feel vulnerable. There isn't one person that wants to feel like everything is not going to be okay. In fact, deeply embedded into our hearts is a longing to feel that our every need will surely be met. And we thrive in places of security. When children feel secure, they grow and they thrive. When family members, when church members, when citizens feel secure, that's what we were born to feel, and there is nothing wrong with that. It's great to feel secure. Abraham Maslow described it as one of the basic, great psychologists, described it as one of the basic, most human needs. It's essential for our growth and development. Every one of us, therefore, in a sense, wants to go home and find home as a part of our universal search to feel okay, to feel safe, to feel protected. That's deep within us. But we also long for connection. And I think that many times the missing piece for us is a sense of disconnection. One of the clearest findings of researchers into the field of human happiness has revealed that we need close relationships in order to thrive emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. Did you know, for example, did you know that people who have illness in their life recover from illness faster, markedly faster, if they have family and friends around them, if they have a sense of connection? Did you know that people with a sense of belonging, with a sense of connection, suffer from mental illness at a lower rate than people who are alone? I mean, togetherness, closeness, connection is powerful, powerful stuff. You were made to do life with other people. You were made to be supported and be connected, to receive love and to give love. And as a matter of fact, we were talking about small groups earlier, and I'll tell you why Gateway is going to do small groups from now until Jesus comes. We're never going to stop doing small groups, because people do better when they are in community. That is very important to us as a church, to see people nurtured and strengthened and supported, not just emotionally, but spiritually, in that spiritual journey. So we do life together in our small groups. And you say, well, I mean, I don't know if I need a small group. After all, I have my own family. I don't know if I need a small group, because I come here on Sunday morning and you're just fine as a teacher, Pastor David. That's all I need, right? Wrong. Every person needs, yes, I am a great teacher. I'm having fun. Yes, Sunday is marvelous, but what about the other 6 days? You need that sense of nurture and that small group family connection experience. And so there's more to come on that. We'll be talking for a long time about small groups. But then I think there's a need for rest in all of us. That sense of homesickness, I believe, is born out of a desire for rest. And I'm not talking vacation rest. I'm talking something much deeper than that. I'm not talking about kicking up your feet at the end of a hard work week. Because there's tired, and then there's exhausted. And those are two very different things. It's a blessing to work a job and put your effort in and be rewarded and have a little time. It's great to work hard at painting a room in your house, or what do you have to do, and you're tired at the end. But how many of you know there's something that called fatigue and exhaustion and weariness that just starts to get its fingers into your heart? Just starts to grab and clench, and you just, even after you sleep, you're still restless. You're still frustrated. You haven't found that sense of rest. I think that's what I'm talking about, is that homesickness. It's a spiritual need. A vacation doesn't cure it. Something else has to take place in our lives. Those are the feelings that we wrestle with in this broken world as we long to go home. But thank God, there is healing for the homesick heart. And this is really what I want to talk to us about. You know, healing is available to us. Christ is the answer to our homesick heart. God never meant for people to feel insecure or disconnected or lonely. It has always been God's desire to nurture and support and strengthen us deep inside so that we will find our sense of comfort and peace and rest and home in Him. Now listen, if you're married, I'm so happy for you. I hope your marriage is happy, and that's a sense of comfort. If you have a house, if you've been able to purchase a home, that's marvelous, and I hope it's big and fat, and I hope you get it paid off, and that's awesome. And if you have a great job and you feel really financially secure and you've got IRAs and 401ks and retirement plan, I hope that every one of you has massive amounts of money in the bank. But even if you don't, I want you to know you can be secure, you can have comfort, you can have peace in your life, and God can bless you right where you are. And I want to talk to us for a few minutes here about what Christ has done for us, because God desires to be our home. It's like Moses prayed, and he said this concerning that sense of home: Lord, you have been our home since the beginning. Where do we find that sense of home? Where do we find that sense of rest? In an IRA, in a marriage, in a good job for a big fancy Silicon Valley company? Our sense of security and home doesn't even come from our family. It comes first and foremost from what God does for us. And I love the way this psalm was written by Moses. And he's declaring it. I think it's something good for us to do as followers of Jesus, for us to say, Lord, you're my home. I believe that homesick feeling would disappear from our lives if we would daily acknowledge that God is everything that we need. Come on, somebody say amen. God, you are my home. Say it with me. Lord, you are my home. You're my source. You're my covering. You're my shelter. King David said, God, you are my fortress. People are trying to get at me. They're trying to attack me. And you just surround me with your walls of deliverance. Lord, I'm safe in you. And not just physically safe, but my soul is safe. I'm not a bird that feels like it doesn't have a nest. I have a place in the world. I have a sense of belonging, and it's not in a corporation or a family or a church. It's in you, God. You're my source. Now, I want you to write this down because we're here in this Christmas season. I want to just make the connection here. The birth of Christ, Christmas itself, is what brings us home and heals us inside. It is Jesus that cures our homesickness. And I want to just say this to you. If you've never opened your heart to Him, we're going to say a prayer at the end of this message. I want you to be courageous enough to talk to God with me at the end of this message and let it come from your heart. God, I want you to be my home. I want to turn my life over to you. Because until you turn your life over to Christ, you will never find that sense of home, that sense of security and peace that your heart is longing for. How does He do this? First of all, Christ brings us into security, true security. I love the words of Romans chapter 8, verse 39. 38 and 39. Paul the Apostle said, for I am persuaded. I mean, listen, he felt this deep inside. This wasn't theory for him. He was building his life on this. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any created thing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in who? Say it with me. Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, Paul is saying, if you have Christ, there will never be a day ever in your life that you can be made insecure. The love of God is surrounding you. Doesn't matter what life has dished up. It doesn't matter what current events are going on. It doesn't matter what's happening in your family or in your body or in the inside of you. There will never be a moment, friend, never a moment's time when you ever have to feel insecure. Because the love of God is wrapping around you, and he says nothing's going to be able to separate you from Christ. Now that is good news this Christmas time. Jesus Christ brings you into true security. I mentioned that writer, that American essayist earlier who can't go home for Christmas because she doesn't have a traditional home. She also said this, I feel most at home where God is. When I really listen for God, I feel at home with whatever God brings me, whatever God sends me. As long as God is with me, God is my nest. And I feel most whole when I'm in communion with God. When I feel homesick, I can go to this nest. I can stop looking outside of myself for God and come home. God brings me belonging, joy, courage, love, and healing. Home for me, she says, is not a physical place. Home is ease or peace with God and trust in God's provision. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, there's something missing on the inside of it. There's something homesick, homeless about all of us on the inside, but we can find our nest in God. He brings us into true security. The second thing that I want you to know today is that Christ brings us into a true sense of God's family. Now, this is very important for us because we're all blessed, I hope, with good family connections, maybe small, maybe large, maybe crazy. I mean, I don't know what your family's like, but sometimes after our family gatherings, I just say, Lord Jesus, get me out of here. But I'm thankful for my beautiful family, but there's something even greater that brings us connection and relationship, and it's this. 1 Peter 1:3, the Living Bible says, it's this boundless mercy that God has given to us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's family. Did you ever think about how you were born, just as you were naturally born into a family, that when you're spiritually born, when you're born again, that God gives you a brand new family? When you're born, God gives you a spiritual family. God, first of all, becomes your father, which is awesome. Now, God created every person, but not every person who's ever lived has been a part of God's family. So you have to understand this. God has created and loved everyone who ever lived, but the only way you can get into God's family is to be born again. You have to receive Christ. You have to give, the condition of being born again is faith in Christ. So Jesus talked about it. He said, unless a man is born again, he can't touch the kingdom. Can't really enter into everything that God has unless you're born again. So my question for you is, are you born again? And if you are you thankful for the fact that everyone else who's born again is your brother and your sister? Here's the reality. You don't ever have to be alone. And I have advice for you. If you're battling with a sense of loneliness, a sense of disconnection, hey, you have a beautiful family that you need to get to know. You need to spend time with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, don't just do the drive-by church experience at Gateway, as wonderful as that is. You can come and have a good time and then dart out the door, kind of like I have to today because of the staff lunch. But no, I really do love you, but I can't talk to you today. But don't just do the drive-by thing. You know, unpack a little bit. Stay for a while. Get to know some people. Get into a small group, you know, and connect, because there's a family. There's a whole beautiful family that everyone who's born again can have. And the third way that I think God cures our homesickness is by bringing us into spiritual rest. That's what Christ does, spiritual rest. Now, remember I said there's a difference between being physically tired and deeply exhausted and weary. And this is exactly what Jesus addresses when he says to us, come to me, come on, come up to me. You're tired, You're exhausted. You're carrying heavy burdens. Don't stay there. Just come on in. Come up to me. And I will give you what, church? Rest. Take my yoke on you. Let me teach you. And you will find rest in your souls. There's a weariness of soul and spirit. I can feel it in this room right now. Some of you even know the Lord. You know the promises of God. Hey, he's not condemning you right now because you feel exhausted. But he's extending his hand towards you. And he's saying, you don't have to carry that. You know, if you're lonely on the inside of your family, come to me. If you're sick in your body, come to me. If you're dissatisfied with life, if it's just not enough for you, come to me. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people recently and they've said these words to me. I just can't go on like this. If you've ever had that feeling, it's real. It's powerful. But here's what's even greater. Jesus saying, come on. Let's get into this now. I'm going to give you rest in a place you've never felt rest before. And that's relationship. It's not religion. It's not joining a church or joining a small group. All of that is good, but only Jesus can bring real rest to your soul. Everything else is to point you to Jesus. Every small group, every church, it's all supposed to point you to him, the one who can heal you, who can strengthen you. I mentioned also earlier about Friedrich Buchner, that author that I love so much, theologian, and the story of that Christmas Eve sermon he was listening to, and the preacher just kept saying again and again and again, are you coming home for Christmas? Are you coming home for Christmas? He was talking about that sense of homelessness that we all have. And Buchner said as soon as he heard the question in that sermon, he knew what the real answer was for him. In his words, he said, I can almost see the minister wearing his glasses, glittering in the lectern light as he peered out over all those people listening to him in that church. He asked it in a way that brought tears to my eyes and made me realize that what he was saying was true, that home is where Christ is, and we are never closer to being truly home than when we experience the life-giving power of Jesus in our hearts. You see, friends, we are not birds without nests. We have a place in him, and we never have to be alone again. I think that's why David so boldly confessed in the 23rd Psalm, surely, everybody say surely. Now, this is not a question. This is not, you know, I hope so, I think so. He said, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live where, church? In the house of the Lord forever. He said there will never be a day when God's goodness and loving kindness isn't hunting me down and jumping all over me. I'm going to live with goodness and satisfaction every minute of every day. I don't know if you guys ever used to watch the Flintstones. But remember Dino? Dino the dog, when Fred would come home and Dino would just jump on him and just lick him. And this is what David is saying. God's goodness and mercy is jumping all over me, man. I will never be without his kindness and his love. Therefore, if I lose my job, therefore, if I lose my spouse, therefore, if I lose my home, I'm still secure. I'm still surrounded by God's goodness and mercy because that will never be taken away from me. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, here it is. Let me just wrap this up. Here's the kicker. Because Christ himself is my home, I will never be lonely again. Would you say that with me? Because Christ himself is... Come on, church, let me hear you. Because Christ himself is my home, I'll never be lonely again. Hallelujah. Musicians are coming. We're going to have a few minutes of Holy Spirit time. I just want to remind you, you're not a bird without a nest. You got a place. But maybe there is some sense of loneliness, some sense of hurt, because you've been trusting another thing, you know, people or churches or pastors or employers or politicians to give you that sense of security. And let me just tell you, God is your home. And I want to challenge you. We're going to worship the Lord. In fact, I want you just to stand to your feet here for a few minutes. And we're just going to, I want you to sing. I want you to follow this song. And I want you to have some Holy Spirit time here to, and I want you to declare, God, you are my home. You've always been there for me, and I worship you. Watch the strength of God enter your experience as we sing Dwell. Come on, guys. Let's worship together. You've said it 100 times out of your sorrow and out of your pain. Lord, it hurts. You've said it 100 times. I'm afraid. I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know what the answer is. I can't go on. You've spoken those words out of your mouth. You're human. But you can also speak these words. Surely goodness and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, you have been my home since the beginning. Would you just lift your hands and just say, Lord, you've been my home. Surely goodness, your goodness and mercy will follow me. Lord, I pray for people in this room right now that are hurting. I pray that they would receive the blessing of your mighty Spirit. Lord, that love of God shed abroad in our hearts through Christ. And I pray, Lord, against all loneliness and sorrow and fear, by the blood of Jesus and in his name, I pray. Break it now in Jesus' name. I release joy, celebration, contentment, peace, and life over every person in every situation. Doesn't matter good or bad, easy or uncomfortable. Lord, your grace is more than enough. We draw on this now through Christ, and we receive it as ours in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Come on, let's celebrate. He is our home. He is our, oh, our eternal home throughout all generations. I want to release the Gateway staff and those that are attending that. You guys just, it won't be rude at all for you just to leave right now. And I want to ask if our prayer teams and altar workers for this service, would you just come and take your place here at this time? We're going to have just another moment's prayer. We're bringing the service to an end. I want you to pray a prayer with me, and I want you to know if you need help or spiritual care, someone just to talk to or help you through a hard time, these men and women are here for you. Some of them are elders. Some of them are prayer leaders. They're all good people. I want to just make sure there's a nice full group up here. So if you're not scheduled for today, it looks a little light today. So just a few more elders and prayer workers, please. But let's turn our attention to the prayer. I want to encourage you to say a prayer with me. All of us are going to say this out loud. You know, Christmas is about Jesus reaching down to us. How about we reach back to him in prayer? Can we do that? Let's lift our voices up to him. Let's say it. Father God, thank you for the love and healing you've given me through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that I never have to feel lonely or homesick again. Jesus, I open my heart to you. Join me to God's family. Fill me with fresh hope and true spiritual rest in Christ's name. Amen. Now that's a prayer right there, and you've opened your heart to Christ, and I expect awesome, incredible things to happen. It's just been so wonderful to be together with you. It's been a great year, and I'm not sure if I'll see you again before Christmas. We're going to have a great Christmas Sunday, but I know some of you are going to be traveling. Kathy and I love you very much. All of our staff and elders, we love you. We thank God for you. Merry Christmas to every one of you. God bless you. You're dismissed. And if you need prayer, please come and join the folks right here at the front.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.